Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Startup Pop Peters Weekly Roundup, where Roshan and I will be taking you through the biggest headlines from the past week. Now, the last week has been pretty slim with, you know, not really much happening in the startup ecosystem. But I mean, I think everyone must be aware of this by now, that the Tata Group has officially launched its super app called Tata Neo. And in addition to that, the open network for digital commerce, which I discussed in some of our past roundups, that is all set to go live later this month. Along with that, we've also been seeing the CCI take interest in the food delivery services of Zomato and Swiggy for their market monopolization, and much more news we'll be discussing today. But as you can see, we are back doing a virtual roundup. I've been traveling. Roshan, how does this feel going back to RetroTech again?
It feels weird again, man. It's so much better to chat in person, really. I mean, I'd rather see you in person than in pixels, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the conversation just flows that way.
Yeah, way better. I think people have told us also, right? So hopefully, I mean, next week we should revert to this. Did you check out the big news from last week, which was the HDFC merger, right? HDFC and HDFC Bank. Yeah. So the combined entity is like $60 billion. And it's a fantastic story. You know, HDFC, I think there are a couple of deep dives that a few YouTube channels have done on how they grew to be one of the largest private banks in India. And it's a phenomenal story. You know, they started off as HDFC as an NBFC and then moved into HDFC Bank as well. And to see both of these come together is a historic moment, as Deepak Parekh put it, right? As the son grows older, he acquires the father's business, which is a nice touch, I think.
Yeah. And even like after this merger, I think HDFC Bank's market share went from 11% to close to 17%, I believe. And this is, I think, more than double of what ICICI Bank holds in the market. But having said that, it's still nowhere close to SBI. They are the market leader with around 27% of market share. Right? I mean, so it just shows like the disparity between these players.
Yeah, and there's still so much headroom, right? I mean, we're still talking about financial inclusion. And with the Jandan, Aadhaar, mobile, you know, revolution that's underway, there's just so much more that, you know, all of these banks and financial enterprises can mine in India.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, apart from HDFC Bank, also one of the largest headlines from the past week was the launch of Tata Neo. This is the super app which Tata has been talking about. They have been on this for quite a while. If you look at Tata's history of the past 154 years, they have been falling into every sort of business vertical that is possible. There's a lot of consolidation that has been going on within the consumer space as well. If you look at services like Tata Tea, the Tata Chemical, all of these things are consolidated with the Tata Consumer Group. And with the launch of this Tata Neo app, they're also pouring into the payment services, taking the likes of Google Pay, Phone Pay head on. And what, I mean, although the concept of an aggregator app is not really new in India, we have seen the likes of Paytm Phone to already do it. What is unique about this platform is that all the services which are present over there is part of the Tata's ecosystem. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's very interesting idea on which the application is built. And I'm sure the benefits will be pretty evident.
Yeah. No, the difference between the Paytms of the world and, you know, what Tata is trying to do is that Paytm did not have, let's say, a hospitality business or a fashion business or an e-commerce business before they started this, right? I mean, before they wanted to be a super app. And that's the key difference between Tata and the rest of them. Tata is already a conglomerate, right? I mean, they own multiple businesses in hospitality, airlines, fashion. And now with all of these acquisitions that they've done, Big Basket, 1MG, you know, Starbucks is a venture, Chroma is a venture, CureFit, I mean, I think they're investing something like $75 million in their startup play and so on. They already have this ecosystem built out, right? And what they're doing is translating this conglomerate, which is part offline, offline, into an online entity, right? Make that a digital conglomerate as such. Because I think, you know, one thing they've realized is that products and services, the delivery is digital today. Right? Whatever it is, whether it's your food, groceries, any kind of services, the delivery is digital. And also, you know, if you look at retail, customer lifetime value, which is repeat purchases, getting customer loyalty, getting people, you know, hooked onto your brand as such is a key thing. And, you know, for that, having data from an integrated ecosystem like this will really be amazing, right? I mean, because this will be, you know, upselling, cross-selling on steroids, right? And, you know, the closest equivalent to this is what Tencent did with WeChat, I mean, in China, with messaging, social media, payments, e-commerce, and the others have tried as well, right? Alibaba, for example, with Alipay and so on.
Yeah. Look at Gojek and Grab in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, exactly. And if you go back to the early days of the you know, search or internet as we know it, right? I mean, everyone said that Google owns the internet, and so, you know, they will just put a buy button for all of their search queries, and they will own everything about everything. They said that Google will kill Amazon, right? But that hasn't happened. So it's a lot more nuanced, right? I mean, the execution is very, very challenging, because see, India as well does not have the same dynamics as China, right? We don't have that firewall. I mean, we have entities like Google, Facebook here. We have so many social media companies already operating. We have e-commerce with Amazon, Flipkart, and all of those. And we have, you know, a couple of failures with the respect of, with the likes of Paytm, for example, right? Which tried to be the one app or the super app and hasn't really gone anywhere. I mean, they're down 70% from the listing, I think. But Tata has a distinct advantage, as I mentioned, because they already have these businesses running, and it's a question of consolidating them. And they're giving out these new coins, right? I mean, someone on Twitter had said that they wanted to purchase a TV, and they already got a 10,000 rupee discount on a 15,000 rupee TV or something, right? So new coins, basically, I mean, they look at your past purchases and give you new coins, right? One new coin is apparently 1 rupee. At this point of time, right? So which is extremely valuable, right? I mean, all of us have ordered on all of these platforms before, and here Tata is actually rewarding you for your loyalty, right? So that is that's a point of delight, and everyone has been kind of raving about it, man. I mean, I see many different accounts on Twitter talking about it. Reliance will attempt the same, Adani will attempt the same, maybe a few others will attempt the same, because it's a huge market, and it's the future, no doubt about it, right? So this has been in the works since 2017 for Tata, since Mr. N. Chandrasekaran took over as chairman of Tata Sons. And you mentioned that mantra of simplification, right? I mean, you know, forming clusters, getting businesses together based on synergy and so on. So yeah, I mean, this is a fantastic experiment, and really, someone should write about this. Someone should write about this whole experiment and how it plays out, because look at the consumer base that Tata has. I mean, 200 million households, right? Everything from salt to software. So loyalty program at a scale that we have never seen before, very unprecedented. It'll be very, very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, also very interesting. You mentioned about that whole cross-sell, upsell option. It also becomes very evident. And it was last evening, I downloaded the app, right? And I was going through it. It looks radically different from like what we're used to, right? The UX feels much more fresher. And something which they have done something very interesting which they are doing is they're tying up content services to this as well, right? With the whole IPL going on, of course, Tata is the title sponsor of IPL for this season, right? They've done a background job on promoting the platform over there. And with the content services, like for example, let's say you're traveling somewhere, you book your tickets from the app, right? You can figure out, okay, what your logistics need to be, what your itinerary can look like. So they're creating this entire ecosystem by itself.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm sure this will have some sort of second order effect, maybe once the application stabilizes. Still, it just launched. I'm sure there'll be a lot of bugs that will need to be ironed out. But it's very interesting how this plays out.
No, it's been in a private beta for Tata employees for some time now, right? So I'm sure that they've ironed out some of those chinks. But yeah, I mean, execution will be at a mammoth scale, right? It'll be very, very interesting to see how this plays out, I think.
Yeah. So Tata has been called as the industrialist of India, right? And this is their step on digitizing India. But going on parallel is the launch of the Open Network Digital Commerce, or ONDC. It was recently announced last week that by the end of this, the public version will be going live. Now, we discussed this in our past roundups, that the ONDC will be an open network for e-commerce merchants. And this proposed network, they'll be controlling digital monopolies, which has been created by the likes of Amazon and Flipkart. You know, this will be a step to like break that down. And they already have like a lot of partners on board, companies like Paytm, Dunzo, PhonePe, Growth Falcons, and even Microsoft. They're already in advanced stages of integration with the platform. And, interesting stat which I came across is that there are close to 6 crore small retailers in the country today. And out of which only 15,000 are currently onboarded into e-commerce.
Yeah.
So if the OND, once the ONDC platform goes live, and even a fraction of this 6 crore retailers get online, then this is a huge opportunity that will open up for itself. How do you see this playing out?
So you've seen, especially post-pandemic, that a lot of the buying, purchasing has shifted online, right? I mean, e-commerce has jumped, probably 4 or 5 years ahead because of the pandemic. And really, I mean, there's just so much of headroom in terms of small businesses coming online. There's still so much of so much of potential for growth there. And what ONDC is, it's not a platform. It's a neutral protocol, basically, right? Think of ABS and so on, where we're digitizing the value chain, right? Entire value chain is being digitized, standardizing the operations, and making sure that suppliers and distributors and, you know, buyers can interact on multiple different platforms, right? And all of this is to break the sort of, you know, Amazon Flipkart monopoly and have more of a fair sort of a platform, I would say, right? Obviously, you know, the larger guys will protest this. I mean, Flipkart and Amazon have already protested, I think, that, you know, this should not happen, right? But buyers and sellers being able to transact irrespective of which e-commerce portal they're associated with, right, is just really phenomenal. I mean, I think it's perhaps the first time in the world that's happening, that, you know, someone is registered on Amazon and the consumer is on, let's say, Flipkart, they can actually, you know, purchase goods and services, right? I mean, it's really revolutionary, and it's happened because of a few different things, right? I mean, as we discussed it earlier also, and it's happened also because there's a lot of debate on e-commerce policy, right? I mean, there are multiple, you know, organizations that are being involved, Competition Council of India, the Department of Industrial Policy and Promotion, Consumer Affairs Ministry, Minister of Commerce, so on and so forth. And there are plenty of things that are being discussed right now, whether it's liability or the related party clause and so on. So ONDC is envisaged as something that will ease all of these difficulties, right? And it's interesting. It's a technology solution rather than a regulation solution, or rather, I mean, technology backed by regulatory power, right? So it's quite interesting what will happen.
Yeah, this could just be like the UPI moment for e-commerce in India. That's at least I read in an interview. But yeah, you mentioned, right, the CCI has really been cracking down hard on startups. Last week, they launched some investigation into the business practices of Zomato and Swiggy, right, for allegations of unfair trade practices against these companies. Now, many of the restaurant partners have gone to the CCI and complained of company like how they monopolize the market and have been imposing their own price terms on partner restaurants, right? And of course, this can come across a serious concern. If you look at their market share, both Zomato and Swiggy, they hold a 90-95% monopoly over the entire ecosystem. And with this investigation, the CCI has given its director general 60 days to investigate these allegations and submit a report. Now, some of these allegations are, you know, based on their exclusive contract with Swiggy Zomato have with restaurants on price parity, even on hiding customer data and bundling the services, right? Which is like the biggest point in the list. So what's your take on that? How do you see this going?
No, we discussed this, you know, last roundup as well when we spoke about Google Pay, right? And how the Competition Council of India is investigating stuff there. See, digital businesses are inherently monopolistic, right? And associations like the National Restaurant Association of India or in e-commerce, I mean, the Swadeshi Jagran Manch and so on, they've been protesting what are clearly unfair practices or, you know, monopolistic practices by these sort of startups, right? And yeah, the couple of allegations are that, you know, they are favoring you know, their own private brands on a marketplace platform. And also they're using consumer data to advantage, which is, you know, I mean, you kind of expect that out of a Swiggy or a Zomato or, you know, an Amazon, right? Obviously, they're digital first businesses. They will behave that way. Now, there is a lot of, you know, squabbles back and forth on, you know, redressal and so on, which I think should be sorted out. I think there should be a proper redressal mechanism for some of these, you know, entities within these platforms, and also greater transparency in terms of, you know, let's say the algorithms and so on, right? So it is a very, very hairy problem, extremely complex. I don't know how it's going to get sorted out, really. Last thing we want is some kind of regulation you know, that really, I mean, will be like a blunt force response to this. Right. So let's hope that, you know, Swiggy and Zomato are a little more forthcoming on all of their practices, which they are. I think, I mean, they've been communicating fairly openly about all of their stuff. Right. So let's hope that it gets sorted out through, you know, partnerships and contracts and negotiation rather than, you know, some kind of regulation.
Also, on that point on, you know, not sharing that consumer data with restaurant partners, right? This kind of like makes you think what Amazon did in early 2010 in US, where they saw what the consumer behaviors were like, and then they came up with their own products, right? And the Amazon's choice stuff and all. So things, I mean, so one of the main allegations which has been raised over here is that if Zomato and Swiggy are controlling the consumer data, then tomorrow if they decide to open up cloud kitchens and all, then the restaurants would go bust. Right. Yeah. And
no, they're already doing that. So they're already doing that, right? I mean, whether it's, you know, what was a cloud kitchen of Swiggy, Bowl Company, I think. Right. And they have four or five other brands, I mean, that I know of at least. Right. So they're already doing that. And it's naive to think that they're not using any of the consumer data. Right. Obviously, they have so much of data on who orders what, when, everything. Right. Why will they not use it, you know, to launch their own brands? I mean, that's what they've been doing. Right. And yeah, I mean, and if you have a great partnerships with Swiggy and so on, obviously, I mean, they will vary the commission based on that also. Right. It's just common sense. That's how it works, really. So, yeah.
So also last week, an academy had announced that it had laid off 600 employees, which is close to 10% of its workforce, to cut down costs and improve efficiency. Now, an academy, we know they have been in the news. We have been talking the roundup as well that they'll be soon going IPO. And you know, the way I see it, with them trying to aim for profitability by the end of this calendar year, right? They're just trying to reduce their burn rate. I mean, currently today, I think they have a closely monthly burn rate of $15 million. And with, you know, laying down employees and other cost-cutting measures, maybe an academy IPO is in the horizon.
Well, the IPO market is solid post-Paytm, right? I mean, everyone has kind of pulled back, whether it's pharmacy or delivery or even MobiQuick, right?
Even OYO has delayed their IPO.
Yeah, of course. I mean, everyone kind of realizes now may not be the best time, right? Given the market sentiment for tech IPOs as such. So yeah, it's a tough thing, man. I mean, Unacademy has been, you know, growing at breakneck speed, right? They valued at, I think, probably $6 to $10 billion, whatever that last funding round was, right? And one of the leading edtech unicorns from India. So they have hired a bunch of people. What I understand, some of them contractually, not entirely on their roles and so on. And they've kind of let go of about 600 people. They really have to do what's right for them, right? I mean, the consultants call this right sizing, which is just a, you know, nice word for, you know, saying laying off, basically. And considering that Unacademy also has launched these physical stores, right, in plenty of different places. So I think that is also an additional burn for them. And factoring all of these, I think the management has done this. I just hope that, you know, the communication has been on point and, you know, they've really taken care of easing the burden on some of these folks who have been laid off.
So yeah, moving on to our next piece of news, Elevation Capital has recently raised its largest fund till date, which is $670 million fund. Now, with such money in the bank, they'll be increasing their ticket sizes for seed and series A startup investments. And they'll now typically begin with a size of $2 to $5 million investments. You know, Elevation Capital has been in the market for close to 20 years. And over this period, they've invested close to $2 billion in over 150 companies. And if you look at their portfolio companies, they had a bumper year last year with the likes of Meesho, No Broker, Akko, Urban Company, Spinny, and ShareChat, all achieving unicorn status last year, right? And even last year, Paytm went IPO, which gave massive returns to SAF 3 Mauritius Company and Elevation Capital 5, which are like subsidiaries. And they raked in 140x and 29x returns respectively. Now that's massive. These are like just positive signs for the VC community in India.
Yeah, they've been in the market for such a long time, right? I mean, they were earlier called SAF Partners and they've been in India for 20 years and this is their 8th fund. So obviously they have a lot of credibility and look at that portfolio. I mean, it's really enviable, right? I mean, everything from Paytm to Swiggy. So yeah, seed and series A, you know, funding in India, obviously we need a lot more people, you know, writing those checks, right? Because the amount of innovation that's happening at the early stage is a lot, right? I mean, and it'll only get more and more, right? So one thing is that, you know, we have been talking about the global macroeconomic trends, right? Saying that, you know, with the Fed raising interest rates and, you know, money drying up, you know, perhaps, I mean, the VC money will kind of reduce. But in proportion, right, the amount of money that India still gets is quite less, you know, venture capital money. So from that perspective, I feel like we still have a long way to go before some of these macroeconomic trends start impacting us, right? I mean, of course, plenty of people have spoken about this, whether it's Mr. Sridhar Vembu or Balaji Srinivasan and so on and so forth, on this whole VC money coming into India. My personal belief is that we're still somewhere off before some of these trends start impacting us, right? And you're seeing that in the kind of funds being raised.
So yeah, I mean, last month, Accelerate also announced its seventh fund, which was close to $650 million. And then Sequoia Capital, I mean, they raised around $2.8 billion to invest in companies across India and Southeast Asia.
Yeah, yeah. So money will keep coming in, I think, at least for the time being, right? And this is just good for the ecosystem.
Yep. Also, if you think $670 million round is large, we have a company called Versys, which is a parent company for Josh and Daily Hunt. They raised an $805 million round at a valuation of $5 billion.
It's insane.
Right?
That's insane.
Yeah, it became the first unicorn among companies which are like building, curating content in local languages. This also, Josh, which is like a subsidiary for Versys, they're one of the fastest growing short video app with close to 300 million users, right? And they're offering content artifacts of 15 languages. So yeah, here we are seeing startups raise rounds larger than what VC firms are raising.
Yeah, I think this is a case of an LP investing directly in a startup, right? I mean, it was led by the Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, right? CCP Investments. Yeah. And so I think, yeah, I mean, 800 is just ridiculous, right? Good God. I mean, I'm just trying to digest that number, you know. But Daily Hunt and Josh have done really, really well, right? And we've had, Farid of ShareChat on the show. We had Kyle of MemeChat. And this whole consumer internet entertainment space in India is just like going to explode, right? And it's only going to go more and more because, you know, we're expecting what, 900 million internet users by 2025. And these apps are at scale right now, right? I mean, they're at 300 million, 350 million users, which is just phenomenal, you know? I mean, think about it. The US population is probably around 400 million. So 75% of the US population is on these apps, right? In numbers terms. So one thing is the monetization is something that, you know, people have to still figure out. I feel people famously say that India is the DAO nation and, you know, for ARPU, you really have to go outside of India, right? So plenty of these consumer internet apps will still have to figure out monetization, right? But, you know, we had Jani of Local, for example, on the podcast as well, who said, you know, their monetization has been a success. We had Vinay of Stage, their monetization has been a success, but still, all of these are at the 100,000 sort of paying subscriber scale, right? I mean, they will, these apps will need a lot more than that, really, to, you know, make the kind of money for the valuations that they're commanding. So a lot is to be figured out yet, but I think everyone is gung-ho about the headroom, right? And the early experiments and pilots on monetization that seem to have paid off. So yeah, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
So one of the tweets that I came across was a screenshot of how, you know, Sam Altman, who is, you know, one of the founders of OpenAI along with Elon Musk, he is talking about, you know, this DALL-E, right? Or DALL-E, maybe a play on Salvador Dali, I think, right? Which is an AI tool that can create and edit images from natural language instructions. So you can probably like talk to it in English and it'll create illustrations, right? Now that seems like a fantastical thing, but so he just queried people that, you know, if you have an idea for DALL-E, just reply with a caption and I'll generate 20 or so, right? 20 illustrations or so. And someone suggested a rabbit detective sitting on a park bench, reading a newspaper in a Victorian setting. Now that is, you know, it's arcane enough, right? I mean, it's crazy. And if you look at the illustration, it's just, it's fascinating. It's really, really fascinating, you know? And to be really honest, you know, with AI, NLP, all of these things, I never thought that we'll get to a point where illustrations like this on command can be done, right? So, which is just like super fascinating. I don't know what impact this will have on designers and so on, but man, if design, which has got so much of art and creativity associated with it, can get programmed this way, then, you know, it's scary, actually, you know.
It's like a Black Mirror episode coming out in real life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else can happen, you know, if that with that level of programming and automation and stuff, right? So yeah, I mean, but it's just from a technology perspective, it was spellbounding. It was really astonishing to see that. So definitely do check out that tweet, actually. We'll link to it.
Yeah. Also, Roshan, let's talk about some of the conversations you had last week. These episodes will be coming out later in the week. You spoke to Sunit of BeForest and Arman of Sleepy Owl. How are those conversations?
Yeah, so we had to actually publish the episode with Sunit last week, but it got delayed for some reason. Sunit has an interesting background, right? I mean, he's an IIT Madras computer science grad, and he was working in tech for a long time with Yahoo and a few other companies that he founded. Then, you know, got the itch to do something with sustainability and so on. And today he is building forest communities, right, with BeForest. So they have something called a collective for which people sign up for. And then they go and, you know, purchase a tract of land, form a company, manage ownership of this tract of land. They build houses and they build farms and cultivation and everything in a very sustainable way, right? So it's fantastic. I mean, they have three collectives so far, one in Hyderabad, Mumbai, and in Coorg, right? And they've also launched an e-commerce brand that sources some of the produce from this from these places, right? And sells it direct to consumers. So very, very interesting business, something that, you know, we've not encountered on the podcast earlier. And also one of those for good and for profit type of businesses, right? Which is amazing. Yeah. So that's Sunit and BeForest. Do definitely check it out. Yeah. Arman is one of the founders of Sleepy Owl, which is a D2C coffee brand, right? Although they want to venture into more than just coffee, they started off with a cold brew, which, you know, of course, Indians are not very used to. And then since they've, you know, launched plenty of different, you know, products, right? I mean, they do a hot brew and then they have a bottled drink and so on. And it was interesting trying to understand the whole value chain, you know, what motivated them to start this? What are some of the challenges they encountered? Because I'm sure a lot of us have ideas, you know, an F&B for, you know, especially, right? I mean, we want to, you know, start a brand or market something and so on. But it has its own set of challenges, and understanding this before you dive headfirst into something like this can be really, really useful. So yeah, definitely check out that episode, very comprehensive on how to build a D2C brand, how to get started. Yeah. So a couple of really good episodes coming up, and I hope you guys check it out.
Yeah. And also do keep an eye out on our social media channels. We'll be posting snippets of these episodes. Do follow us on our Twitter handle, which is @OperatorStartup, and on LinkedIn, the Startup Operator. Along with that, if you like, you know, snippets, updates regarding the podcast delivered straight into your WhatsApp inbox, you'll find a link in the description below. Do subscribe to that as well. And yeah, Roshan, thanks a lot for joining us today and taking us through all the headlines from the past week. Folks, do subscribe to the channel and share this episode with your startup operator friends. And again, we'll see you again next week. Have a great week ahead.
See you guys next week, and don't forget to rate and review us. It'll help more people discover our content, and yeah, see you guys next week. Thanks.